I invite you to turn to Matthew 24, 4 through 8. The context is this: disciples come to Jesus and ask him, when is the end? And Jesus starts prophesying and starts telling them beforehand of what's going to happen in the future. Matthew 24, 4 through 8. And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. I remember the day when Zamfira woke me up. When we had, she was pregnant with our first daughter, Zoe. And she woke me up, she said, Ariel, my water broke. It was the sign that we were going to have a baby. I was frantic, panicky. Acum naște, haide rapid. Zamfira told me, no, es un proces. Calm down. At the beginning, there's a long period of time between the contractions. They're not so painful. Avut teams them, go take a shower to get her bags, to get ready, have some breakfast, and went to the hospital. And it was hours later, as the contractions started multiplying, increasing in frequency, intensity, becoming more painful, the time from long to shorter period of time between the contractions. Those were the birth pains that was being described here in Matthew. Just like that, like a pregnant woman's contractions. The signs are going to start increasing in frequency. First, they're small, not so painful. But then they become more intense, more frequent, more painful. What kind of signs? In Luke 21:11, Jesus says, the signs are going to increase, signs like these. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. The signs are going to increase as the moment gets closer to the end. The very end. What are we talking about here? When Jesus is coming back. That's the end. When the world is going to end. Is the coronavirus the end? Or is it just a contraction? One of many that have been throughout the years, a sign. You see, there's something bigger that's going to be coming. If you want to see the end, here's a picture of the end, Revelation 6:8. And I looked, and this is a word picture that you want to see. It's scary. And behold, a pale horse. What kind of horse? A pale horse. It's very interesting, this image of a sick-looking horse. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Notice, this is getting close to the end. Pestilence, a fatal epidemic disease, a plague. Definition in the dictionary. The other word there that's, leave it up there, guys, if you from the back, wild beasts. The Greek word here is teran, which is interesting. It's talking about venomous beasts. Wait a minute. Venomous beasts. I kept thinking about this. What venomous beast can there be? If I see a snake, I can see it, I can kill it, it's easy. If that's the way the end is going to be, no problem. Is it a venomous spider? Just get some Roundup, beep, beep, done. What could this be? Something you see with your eyes? The inventor of the telescope in the 1600s, when he got some pond water and he put it under the telescope, he saw a bunch of little critters that you can't see with the naked eye, only with lenses that are very sophisticated. Critters that if you were to drink that water, you would get so sick. And he said these words, "These are the beasts. These are the little critters, tiny critters that can kill you. You can't even see them with the naked eye." We always wonder when the ancients were, a while back, when they're reading Revelation 6, "This can't happen," they must have said. "There's no way this kind of stuff could happen. Ariel, there's always been epidemics. There's always been plagues. Bubonic plague." True. The Romans had plagues and pestilences and epidemics. The Middle Ages had them. So what? Don't worry about it. There's a big difference between the plagues back then and the epidemics back then and now. And the difference is this. In the 21st century, it's easy to be a global pandemic. Back then, if you got on a horse and you were sick, you could travel 2 days before the symptoms came up, but you wouldn't have traveled so far from home base. If you got on a ship, you can go, but how far can you go? Today, with global intercontinental travel, you can travel in 2 days with before you even have any symptoms. And I know this because my parents-in-law came from Romania. She and Doua Zile from Târgu Mureș. They were here in 2 days. And during that period of time, they were at a restaurant. They used the metro and the Uber, and they used all the travel resources they had. They got on a plane, and in 2 days, they were in Atlanta. Before you even have any symptoms, you can infect all these people. That's the difference between the plagues from the past and today's global plagues that can hit. In the 21st century, just to give you an example, one of these contractions, signs, birth pains, 1918 was a Spanish flu. By the way, it was based off of influenza, H1N1, that we all get sick of. It was based off of a virus. You can't see with the naked eye. One of those pestilence beasts that was described in Revelation. In 1918, they say that about, on the low end, around 50 million people died. To the high end, 85 million people died. It was not local, it was global, around the world, because of travel and because of the mutation as it was developing this virus. In 1964, another virus hit. Another contraction, another sign, 4 million people died. But this one was more localized only in Asia. Then we know about SARS, 2003. SARS was more like a bulldozer. It took its time. Hundreds of people died, but it was not moving quickly. Influenza, corona, is like a missile. It moves. It spreads quickly. What is going on here? Is coronavirus the end? Is that the one that's described in Revelation 6:8? No. Put it up again, Revelation 6:8. There was something that caught my attention. Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. A fourth. Let me give you perspective. The earth right now has about 7.7 billion people. What's one fourth of 7.7 billion people? I'll help you out. One, exactly. About 1.9 billion people. Just try to understand that. 1.9 billion people are going to die. This is catastrophic. Global extinction level event. That is Revelation 6:8. Is that the coronavirus? No. It's a sign. It's one of the birth pains out of many throughout the years. to tell us that Christ is coming back. Just to kind of give you a perspective, what's 1.9 billion people to understand that? I was trying to do the numbers, trying to figure out if I would explain this to my kids, what that number is. In China alone, there's 1.3 billion people. Take all the Chinese. In America, there's about 327 million. Add those in there. In Brazil, there's about 200 and something plus million, 209 million. You take all the Chinese, all the Americans, and all the Brazilians, and you wipe them off the face of the earth. Boom, gone. Empty. That's Revelation 6, 8. Global, catastrophic, human extinction kind of level event. It's scary. All this stuff is to tell us this. All these signs that were in Luke and that Jesus is talking about is this. They're the point to what? That Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to return. That's why in Luke 21, 28, it said that after you get these signs, look what you need to do. When these things begin to take place, like the coronavirus and other signs throughout the ages, begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I've been lifting my head the last couple of months a lot more often up. The coronavirus, a couple of months ago, these weird reports that a locust infestation in Uganda in Africa, the media try to keep it on a lowdown. Locust? Infestation? What's going on? What is happening? Are these signs? Makes you wonder, is Christ coming back? Is he around the corner? Is he at the door? How should we live? You know what? It's good to live like this, if you think about it. How? Knowing that Christ can come back at any moment. You live with anticipation, expectation, with a level of purity that you normally don't live with. Look what it says in John 3, 1 John 3, 2 through 3. This is talking about the return, the hope of Christ coming back. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he, Jesus, appears, this is talking about his return, take note, we shall be like him. That's our hope. Because we shall see him as he is. But look at the next verse. And everyone who thus hopes, what? What's the hope about? Him coming back. And everyone who thus hopes in Christ's return, in him purifies himself as he is pure. Let me read that again. And everyone who thus hopes in the Christ's return, in him purifies himself as he is pure. There's something purifying about knowing that at any moment, unannounced, Christ can come back and take us home. It changes our perspective, doesn't it? In the way we live our lives, in the decisions we make, if we knew that he could come back at any moment. I remember as a boy, whenever I would misbehave, and we had an environment where you could misbehave pretty good when you have four younger brothers and a lot of boys. And I remember that whenever we misbehaved and my mom was the only one at home, she would say one phrase to me that got my attention. Așteaptă până vine tata acasă. Just wait, your dad is coming home soon. That would straighten us up. We would stop misbehaving. Why? Because I knew he was coming. He would handle it a little bit differently. Knowing that the Lord can come back at any moment, unannounced, I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. So my encouragement for tonight, don't worry about the coronavirus. Worry about your spiritual health. Do you have a good standing with God? If you don't, repent. Come before him, like we mentioned this morning. Seek him and live. They had a rabbi with some disciples around him, and the disciples asked him, "Rabbi, wise man, wise teacher, when is the best time to repent?" And the rabbi responded, "A man should at least repent on the last day of his life." The disciples said, "Wait a minute, there's a problem. We don't know when is the last day of our life." And the rabbi responded very nicely, "That's right, that's a solution. That's why you need to repent now, today. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get ready. Today is the time, the acceptable time." So my prayer is for everybody to repent. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready for his return. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.